So that marks the end of It Ain't Easy Being Green. Thanks for listening. And yeah, next we have Brian with Scald's Hall, and he's got a cool spoken word short story to talk about. So yeah, listen in and don't forget to call in and donate to our fund drive.
It's not too late to win the Euro CD.
It's not too late to call. We'll give you a few more minutes to call about all those CDs. Yeah, so here's Brian.
Sweaters and phones. You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and it is 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. It is time for Scald's Hall. It is time for a very special edition of Scald's Hall. We are in the midst of CITR 101.9 FM's Fun Drive, annual Fun Drive, that's going on from yesterday, February 28th, until Friday, March 8th. And in order to donate, the number is 604-822-8648. Once again, 604-822-8648. If you are as firmly ensconced in the 21st century as I am, you can donate online at citr.ca/donate. And if you're following Scald's Hall on my social media feeds, you can also donate to my show in particular, or any show that you like, that you listen to and love, via their sites. I know I've got mine put on my social media feeds. I believe most other people will as well. And so that is what we are up. That's what we are up to today. What does community radio mean to a community? Why do we do it? Why do we have it? What benefits does it bring us? Today we're going to examine that dramatically. We are going to be having, for a first on Scald's Hall, a fully produced, internally created audio drama. These things are difficult to make, and we haven't made one yet, but this is an important thing. And we're going to answer that question dramatically in just a moment here on Scald's Hall at CITR 101.9 FM. And just once more, that number to donate is 604-822-8648.
And that's reason 486, where I should get my own new show. Captain's log entry continued. We're patrolling the area around Planet Cosmos, looking for new talent to feature here, aboard the Community Enterprise. So far, everything's been running smoothly, and the crew have taken great inspiration from the example of professionalism and dedication that I have shown them.
Oh my.
Shall I upload your pictures of you sitting in your underwear on the bridge to Phaser Book, Captain?
What?
That won't be necessary at the moment, Lieutenant Subaru. Ahem. Nothing stands in our way of me leading us to another glorious victory over mediocrity. I'll cut a fine figure when they pin another medal on my chest. You truly do have a face for radio, sir. Ah, yes. That will do for now. Lieutenant O'Hara, log. Oh, and play it back once over the intercom, just to make sure my voice sounds pretty.
Oh, my. Shall I issue air sickness bags to the crew, sir?
Beginning the upload procedure now, sir.
Spot any new talent we might feature here on the Community Enterprise, Mr. Hephaestus?
Stupid campus! As if it takes any skill at all to wedge itself into the corner of the map closest to my spawn point! You know what I'm gonna do now? I'm gonna log in with my alt account, sign back into this area on your team, and then shank you just...
Hard at work as always, Mr. Hephaestus. Oh, I know how tempting it is to try to be as awesome as me at first-person shooter. I am, after all, the most awesome!
May I remind the captain that at least Mr. Hephaestus is wearing pants.
Playback proceeding, Captain.
The ship's medicals report only mild nausea caused by the sound of your voice.
Oh, well, that's good. I guess.
And may I remind you, sir, that during our last online gaming session, you tried out your new, perfect, keybinding scheme. Only to be owned hard 37 times in a row.
Right, I think we get it now. Anyway, Mr. Hephaestus, have you finished your sensor sweep of the area?
Indeed, I did. Initial scouting of the area indicates we're most likely to find new talent on the planet Cosmos. The cuteness elementals of that planet have a wide-ranging appeal. Moreover, they often use their cuteness and this appeal to promote causes that coincide with the principles of the community enterprise. I recommend we start our search there!
I agree.
And ending it there, this whole having to wear pants at work thing is getting tedious.
Mr. Hephaestus, I'm surprised at you. The community enterprise is for everyone. If there are other groups out there that are not being reached, it is our duty. No, it is our privilege to reach them. Remember how we got together to help you promote the gaming subculture?
Yeah, I guess that's logical.
I agree that we should start at Planet Cosmos, not because it's the closest or the best lead so far, but because it's the sort of thing that would attract the attention of the commercial empire.
Begin and play back a bombastic music available for dramatic effect.
All right, and welcome to back to us live at CITR 101.9 FM, and we have a special guest. Hello.
Hi.
Tell everyone who you are.
I'm Aaron Levy. I'm the station manager at CIVL 101.7 in Abbotsford, British Columbia, Canada, serving the Fraser Valley with campus community radio, just like you guys are in Vancouver.
Yes. And just a brief update for our fund drive total. We are up to $1,443.60. Let's see if we can crack $1,500 here on Skulls Hall. And so what we're going to, what I wanted to say now is we need the money in order to keep our station up and running. And why do we need to keep our station up and running? Because we provide valuable services to our communities, including giving people who don't have a voice. And how is that all going to turn out? Well, tune in, stay tuned, and let's find out.
They turn every creative venture into a crass, money-making scheme! Oh, that's brought them into conflict with the gaming community on more than one occasion!
Just a few bars will do, Lieutenant. Oh, I would take my pants off at the mere mention of the commercial empire! If I were wearing any.
Shrinking your pants in the wash now, to coincide with your political views, sir.
That's just fine. I can steal some from Mr. Hephaestus whenever we have guests over. Oh, it's not like he ever wears his, either.
Captain, there's a problem with your log entry recording.
Red alert! Contact Engineer Swede. Review the security tapes. Emergency pants to the bridge.
Ah, sir, I think I found the problem. It's our secondary recording board. She's giving up the ghost. All my test recordings with her have got a bad static buzz to them. It's as bad as a simile in a cheesy sci-fi show.
Oh. Can you repair it?
Sorry, sir. She's from an era when bell bottoms were unironically popular. I can play around with the recording levels a bit, but it's only a matter of time. The metaphor is really in the dialogue now.
The automated playlists from our primary board will provide a temporary solution. But without that secondary board, we're not going to be able to maintain our current level of diversity in our programming. Oh, Jar Jar! I need that board in order to do my show! It's too tricky to do the whole thing live!
What if we rubbed dilithium crystals on it, like, really hard?
Updating the top 10 lousiest things Captain Smirk has ever said list now, sir.
Sorry, sir. That would be useless. Almost as useless as my anecdote about how I tried to bake muffins at my grandmother's place the day after her stove broke down. Then we have no choice. We'll have to appeal to our community for help. But in order to do that, we'll need as strong, vibrant, and diverse a community as possible. Lieutenant Subaru, set course for Planet Cosmos at once. And turn this baby up to 11.
Yes, sir.
Nothing specific so far, sir. Well, we know from their last fiscal quarter report that they've got a talent scout budget for the area, but there have been no sightings so far. Their purchases of dress pants are up 10%, though. They could be gearing up for something big.
I see, Lieutenant. Well, we'll just have to make sure that we get there first, before they're forced to sign with the commercial empire. Mr. Hephaestus, initiate a change of scene.
And will the crew of the Community Enterprise succeed or not? They won't if we don't replace our secondary board. And as you may have heard from commercials earlier on, this is something that we legitimately are having trouble with here at CITR. We are currently still standing at $1,443.60. If you are interested in programs like this one and many of the other wonderful news and musical programs, the number to call for donations is 604-822-8648. Again, 604-822-8648. Or if you go online, CITR.ca/donate. And so either of those options are available to you. We have lots of wonderful, lovely swag to give away at the at various different donation levels. You can call in and find out about them. All right, so coming up after just one brief announcement, we will continue with Act 2 of the Community Enterprise.
March 8th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., CITR will celebrate International Women's Day with 12 hours of programming and music chosen by and featuring female-identified voices. Feminist artists and organizations will be highlighted as we challenge gender norms and play some killer tunes. This event also concludes CITR's 2013 Fun Drive. Your donations will help us support groups and voices that have been marginalized by the mainstream media. Submit your questions, suggestions, and testimonials at arts@citr.ca.
Ah, there is nothing more evil than a well-creased and new pair of pants. Truly, one must be at one's diabolical best when engaging in the nefarious perversity of depravity. And soon, every creative venture in this sector will be under our legal control. Nothing will be able to stop us. Isn't that correct, Colonel Copyright?
Quite right, Baron Von Nasty. We're en route to Planet Cosmos now. Their cuteness elementals are the most lucrative intellectual property in the galaxy, and all that revenue will be ours.
Provided we get there before the Community Enterprise. Bah! The Community Enterprise! That wrinkle on my left butt cheek will not stand in our way this time! But if we manage to steal away their audience with our new intellectual property, then very soon there will be nothing more than dead air and a bad memory!
What about the content the cuteness elementals promote? Devastatingly cute is one thing, but their content decisions are making our shareholders nervous.
It's simple, really. Once we are in control, we will change all their content.
So, we're going to spend millions buying the cuteness elemental franchise. Then, going to get writers already under our control to change everything. Especially when it would have been cheaper and faster to have them just write for us.
Correct!
It's a stroke of genius, no?
This plan is so beautiful.
Yes! Now let's get out of here. I can't have Duke Dastardly outperforming me this quarter.
Of course. Preparations have been completed, sir. Contracts are primed and proofread. And expense account cards are fully charged. Oh,
and your spare pants are just back from the cleaners.
Excellent, Colonel Copyright. Now, I wish to listen to some heavily licensed music of bombastic evil as we transport to the surface.
Yes, at once, sir.
And welcome back to us live here at CITR 101.9 FM. And for donations, please call 604-822-8648. Once again, 604-822-8648. Our show total so far, we're still standing at $1,443.60. We have a special thanks and shout out for Shelley. Thank you very much, Shelley. You have been a true wonder and inspiration for us all here down at CITR 101.9 FM. And are the commercial empire going to succeed? They are, if community radio disappears off the face of the earth. We don't want that to happen. We provide a valuable service to the community, and we want to give back as much as we get in return. So please keep that in mind when you're considering whether or not to donate to our cause. I think that it's a very valuable one, and I think that the services that we provide should be continued to provide to our community, as we have done so for the past 75 years here at CITR 101.9 FM. And just a quick question, how long has your station been on the air?
CIVL's been on FM since 2010. Mm-hmm. For the first year and a half, we broadcasted at a low power at 40 watts, and then eventually we had a permanent license to broadcast 500 watts. So that's been happening for just over a year and 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. But we've been making podcasts since 2008.
I see. And what's your take on community radio? Why did you get involved in it in the first place?
I got involved in community radio as a student at the University of Guelph. Mm-hmm. I got involved in community radio as a co-op student in high school in Toronto with CHRY 105.5 at York University. And I was doing my co-op at the student newspaper, and I thought, well, I want to get involved in as many different media operations as I can. So I went through the trainings at CHRY. Then when I went to University of Guelph, I got involved with their radio station, CFRU 93.3 FM. I wanted to, and this is what I did basically every weekend for my first year or two of university before I got a job, was every weekend I would go back home to Toronto and interview a different band for my radio show. So I was interviewing Animal Collective and TV on the Radio and McCluskey and all these awesome bands that you may or may not know of. That's why I got involved. I wanted to get involved with music, music production and music promotion and writing about music. And I got involved in Exclaim through those experiences and writing for them and involved with different blogs. And currently it's helped me over the past, 9-10 years. Now I'm a professional. I have a job in radio. I have a full-time job, and it's been made possible by my experiences in community radio. And we do that at stations like CITR and CIVL, where we give you the start, and then you can move ahead in your career. We've graduated students at the University of the Fraser Valley who've gotten involved with CIVL over the course of a year or two, maybe hosted a program, maybe been on the board of directors, but then decided, you know what, I don't want to get my university degree. I want to go to BCIT and get a radio broadcast diploma, and that's what they've done. And so we've helped them make steps in their careers.
I see, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. We're going to go now to Act Two of the Community Enterprise. So stay tuned.
Thank you.
Captain Smirk to Community Enterprise. We have beamed down successfully. The way I leaped into the transporter beam is certain to inspire crew members for generations to come.
I hope you caught all that on camera, because I'd really like to upload it to... Don't we have more important things to worry about right now, Captain? Besides, you didn't even leap in the right direction until your third try.
Quite right, Mr. Hephaestus. Now, to get to business. Where did you say the lifeform readings were coming from?
Well, I was picking up a spike in data usage just over that ridge. Given that they were using a guest login, I was guessing it was one of the cuteness elementals patched into our Wi-Fi system.
Then let's go. And keep your eyes open for agents of the Commercial Empire.
Ah, transport to the surface has been completed. Oh, and look over there! We found our target already! Behold, Colonel Copyright, our next revenue stream!
Oh, hello there. Why do you say I'm a stream? I'm not a stream, silly. I'm a cuteness elemental.
Ah, at last. But how come we were able to find it so quickly?
Mister, I'm not an it.
Quite simple, really. I knew that Captain Smirk would beam down over there and try to make a dramatic entrance to impress the creature. Whereas I, on the other hand, only do drama when it makes me money.
Mister, I can still hear you, you know. Well... at least being a this creature is better than being an it.
The contract papers are ready, Baron. We should make the offer now, before the crew of the Community Enterprise shows up.
You know, most secret evil people are a little less evil and lots more secret.
Why, hello, child. Would you like to come away with us? We have lots of wonderful candy.
Oh, dear.
Baron! What my slightly overzealous colleague wanted to say is, we have an exclusive offer for you. If you sign with us, we can bring your cuteness to every household in the galaxy.
What you mean to say, Mr. Man, is that you formulated a contract where the majority of the profits will end up in the hands of your shareholders. I'll be responsible for defraying most of my own promotional expenses, and I'll have to agree to representation of your own choosing rather than agents who I already trust. Ooh, you're mean.
No, no, no! Don't be silly! That's ridiculous! Of course not!
Do we? Oh, you sillies. I didn't start out in the cuteness business just yesterday, you know. Being cute doesn't mean I don't have business sense.
There must be some way of making that sound good to people. Bah! No matter! Colonel Copyright, prepare the cloning ray.
Oh no! What is that?
That, my dear, is what we use when we can't get what we want. I'll make a copy of you that's just different enough that I'll be protected by my own copyright laws from your complaints. Then I will use a much larger advertising budget, and you will be cut out of your own market!
So... you track me down in order to use me to get money, but planned on changing me to whatever you wanted anyway? Then your backup plan, if that didn't work, was to hunt me down, threaten me, zap up a clone of me, spend oodles on advertising, spend more oodles on changing up the clone into whatever you wanted, and then hope that somehow this all gets you money?
Yeah. Don't forget, hire a public relations staff to make that all sound less ridiculous. Are you overwhelmed in awe from our glorious master plan?
I'd just say you won the Silly Goose of the Year award. But I think all that can get you the Silly Goose of the Forever.
Agents of the Commercial Empire, halt where you are! Your harebrained schemes and ill-fitting pants won't save you this time. Prepare to face the broadcast diversity of the community enterprise.
The game is up! Get it? Because you keep sending my game review videos copyright takedown notices. And this is, up. And, saying that, makes me awesome. Right?
Smirk! Your presence here is infuriating! But I'm going to pretend that it isn't. For you see, once I open fire with my cloning ray, I can market you and your silly crew right off the air! Colonel Copyright, do your worst!
Do your worst, Von Nasty.
You shouldn't use violence. Love and friendship are the answer.
The cloning ray won't work on them.
What?
Why not?
We get to live? Awesome!
Think about it. A show about how the games we own the rights to all suck. And a vanity project by a pantless weirdo. How could we justify shows like these to our shareholders?
Ah... So once again, I am proven a true visionary by eschewing mundane trouserly attire. And now, Von Nasty, I'm going to take you out with a cheesy 60s fist fight.
Huh? How ridiculous. He's right. Even though we have other projectile weapons and they don't, we have to fist fight them. It's the convention, and the only way to go against convention is to introduce original content.
No, you shouldn't fight. Less pummeling and more hugging.
What? Do something original in a story climax. Ooh, I don't want to even think about what our shareholders would do if they found out. Very well. Captain Smirk, prepare for fisticuffs.
Right back at you, Baron.
Hello. My name is Mr. Hephaestus. You ruined my favorite gaming series. Prepare to die.
I'll sue you for using that phrase.
Ooh! I changed it just enough so that you can't!
Ah! Ow!
Oh, no. Now you've done it. You woke up Angel.
Who is Angel?
I am Angel, Captain Smirk. I represent the cuteness elementals of this world. And I'm afraid I cannot allow your conflict to continue. You and Baron Von Nasty seem to have forgotten that your two institutions can peacefully coexist.
They can?
Oh, yes. Commercial broadcasts can bring informative and entertaining programming to an almost universal market.
But they serve private interests.
Indeed they do. Community broadcasts provide a voice to those who would otherwise go unheard, and can not only watch over any bias in commercial broadcasts, but also provide programming of their own, which would not have been deemed worthy of large-scale commercial funding.
But what of our situation? We both want to have the cuteness elemental.
I work freelance, silly. I sign on only for specific gigs. I decided forever ago that I'd help the community enterprise with charity drives. It's super nice of me, and it's great exposure. Then, I'd take individual jobs in the commercial empire because having money to buy food with is fun.
So, we got all worked up over nothing? Oh, wow.
I'd learn a lesson from all this, but that would be original content.
So, we all just go home then?
For now, both sides can send word of specific projects, and I shall manage a schedule. One more thing. Captain Smirk, I gift these pants to you.
Oh, are they meant to symbolize what we learned about mutual coexistence?
No. Just put on the pants, Captain. Please.
Please.
Shall I log this mission as an incompetent disaster, sir?
We're receiving a transmission from the planet's surface now, Captain. It's a schedule of the Cuteness Elemental's charity appearances on our behalf.
These new pants are amazing. I never knew what it was like to have my lower extremities kept warm.
Well, it does get drafty in here. I've tried to tell you.
I wonder, though. Does this mean that our conflict with the Commercial Empire is finally over? Maybe we've all learned to get along.
In my pants!
And welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. And that was our prepared radio drama, The Community Enterprise. And it covers in a very humorous way and in a very general way, to be certain, the various tensions and relationships between community productions and professional productions. And also it underlines a little bit about where our talents come from, where our talents go. And with me in the studio now, we have Aaron Levy. Hello again, Aaron.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Whoa, sorry about that.
No, that's cool. We're good.
Yes, we're good. We are loud and proud.
I'm loud.
Yes.
You're proud. You should be, because I don't think it was general at all. I think there were some very specific and true to form critiques and send-ups, if you will, of the commercial versus community radio industry.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for saying that. I'm a budding voiceover actor. And of course, I'm very heavily involved in community productions. I do community theater. I'm involved in the Vagabond Theater's production of Fawlty Towers, which opened last night and is continuing running at the Burney Lake Theater. And of course, I do Scald's Hall. And just wanted to ask, Aaron, do you have any particular experiences with tensions, maybe, or anecdotes about community radio vis-a-vis commercial radio?
So if I could take the chance to champion a local...
Please do.
Yeah. So I started with community radio, obviously, like I said, at York University. But after I graduated from university, finally myself, I decided, okay, well, I want to take this a step further, like I said, that we do with other students. So I ended up going to college. And in college, they are not training you to become a community radio personality or even to get a full-time job at a radio station like many people have here at CITR. They're training you to become commercial jocks. And essentially, if you're not comfortable saying, well, Britney Spears coming up next, love that song, can't wait to see her come to town later on this month, then you're kind of like SOL, right? Mm-hmm. There's not too much work that you can find in commercial radio if you have a problem with what you're going to play with you know, pretending to like things that you don't, at least not on air, and or unless I guess you're a political pundit of some sort. So I mean, you know, that was a bit of a conflict for me, that the programs I had to host and the assignments I had to do were, right, you know, that I had to be faking myself, and they keep telling you, don't fake yourself. be honest, be yourself. Don't be somebody you're not. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a problem. And when I would look for, I'm still involved with community radio, and I would say to my professors, well, hey, what kind of job advice can you give me as far as getting a job in this part of the radio industry? And they'd say, what do you want a job in that part of the industry for? That's not what they were molding us for, right? They're molding us for corporate radio. So I moved on, and I got, you know, here I am employed in campus and community radio. But I think one of the most important things that we've been able to do at my station at CIVL, we have one volunteer who started doing our daily news updates. We got a Community Radio Fund of Canada grant, which CITR has also received in the past. And that grant went towards producing news programming on a regular basis, daily news programming. And that's important for our community because we're the only alternative media source, and people will only get the corporate news if they don't get anything else from us. So that was a huge initiative for us. But luckily, after having trained a volunteer who was involved in campus community radio, and like me, didn't really want to go to the commercial route, but was still interested in you know, checking out all of her possible job options, she applied for a radio station in Chilliwack, which is a commercial radio station, to be their weekend news announcer, and they actually hired her. They really liked her voice. And to me, that's really valuable, that a student who decides to volunteer, maybe make some money on the side with a work study or, you know, a part-time contract situation that's offered through the radio station, is able to move ahead in their career without training. I thought, I didn't graduate college. I finished 1 year of college. I got great marks, but I don't have a diploma. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I must not be employable in the commercial radio sphere if I ever wanted to move on. But when, and I don't know how much CITR listeners or CITR supporters are going to want to hear about how, you know, community radio giving you a step into commercial radio. But it was valuable for this student who happens to be a student of minority. So who was somebody who got involved and was able to you know, get into the broader sphere of professional. Professionalism and whatnot, and she now has a regular, you know, job doing commercial news without that diploma, right? Without that training that you would expect would be a prerequisite for a job like that. But her experience and her ability to develop and learn skills, which you do get from a place like CITR or CIVL or wherever it is. CJSF and co-op as well. Mm-hmm. It's so valuable in that way, whether it's connecting you with job opportunities, whether it's connecting you with theater groups or the music community or just other writers who want to talk about issues that are unique to yours.
Well, that's very interesting because coming up in just a moment, I have a pre-recorded interview I did earlier this month with Brian Wade. And he talks about another project that aired here on CITR 101.9 FM, the creative writing classes. One of them created several audio drama radio scripts. And in concert with CITR 101.9 FM, they were broadcast here on the air.
Cool.
And I'm hoping to rebroadcast them one day soon. However, this is another venture because these are people who are training ostensibly to write for television, specifically commercial television. But this is another way that community radio benefits them. And we are benefited in return because we get a chance to hear and see and experience ideas and talents that would otherwise go ignored. And that is what I think... And I think Aaron will agree, community radio can really bring to a community. And so, in just a moment, coming up here on CITR 101.9 FM, we are going to hear our interview with Dr. Brian Wade. Into CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Skulls Hall. And with us today, we have Brian Wade. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
How are you, Brian?
I'm good.
What is it that you do here at UBC?
I teach in the creative writing program. I'm the stage play guy. I usually teach the advanced stage play workshop, which is graduate students and fourth year BFAs. But what I am teaching is my creative writing 417, which is designed for brave new playwrights. So that's with our majors. I also taught this year a course called Creative Writing 217 477A, and that was Introduction to Stage Play and Radio, and that was for first and second and third year art students. It's an introduction to the one-act play and radio.
Awesome.
So people in that course actually wrote four different pieces, well, at least one stage play piece, just short pieces, and a radio piece. And I know about how a radio project came to be, right, which is on CITR too. But and I also teach every other year writing for radio. So that's for our majors and for our grad students. So I'm trying to facilitate, support, and keep the genre of radio alive, right? Last year, 2012 winter, was the last time we did writing for radio. It was a 3-credit course. A number of the students did shows, produced shows. They did feature shows, or they did drama shows. Rosemary Anderson actually did a 30-minute radio drama comedy that she produced under sort of the of the course.
What was the spark in your life that started all this going?
Just in high school, I was, I guess you would call them the nerdy type now, you know, and I was always writing. And I remember there was no such thing as creative writing classes when I went to school. And I know one big inspirational thing was there was a special session. I don't know if she was a teacher. She came in and did a couple of creative writing workshops, classes with us for a few chosen, or I think it was more just if you were interested, you could go. And that was great. So I think even from then, I always wanted to try to take on writing, right? So I went into creative writing at UVic, University of Victoria. It was within the English department at that time. And I always like to tell this anecdote that W.P. Kinsella and myself were the first two graduates of the creative writing department of UVic, right? Because it actually became a department just as we were graduating. So we didn't have to graduate in English. And I guess that's sort of how it started. When I was at UVic, I was getting my plays produced in Toronto, right? So I got my first full-length play produced in Toronto by the Targon Theatre when I was still at UVic. So that sort of, okay, well, I guess I got to go to Toronto. So then I went to Toronto after UVic. They got involved with the theater scene and got involved with radio drama. Then the wonderful world of being a freelance writer, which is, you know, not always that wonderful. Working in theater and working in radio and working on a number of different kinds of radio. Like I've done adaptations of J.G. Ballard short stories. I did a series for Morningside. If people do remember Morningside, I adapted Ethel Wilson's Swamp Angel novel, which is an amazing book for Morningside. And then I wrote a number of original dramas. So anyway, so going back to what the Creative Writing Radio Project, out of Creative Writing 217, we came up with the idea that we would ask all the students in the class, there were 64, if they would want to have their radio script considered to be produced. And of course, they all wanted it to be considered, so we had to read them all, which was great. We got it down, and we involved Robin, the program manager here at COTR, as part of our committee. So there was Robin, Rosemary Anderson, the other teaching assistants, Brianna Brown, and myself. So we had about a short list of about a dozen, maybe 14 scripts that we all read, and then we got it down to the four. So that's sort of how that whole project produced. And so we got some funding for creative writing because I talked to the administration there and I said, this is a great opportunity. Of course, we had the studio time here from CITR. They provided that. And Rosemary talked, and all the actors are from the class. So there was a lot of people who had theater experience in the class and as actors. Because now CBC officially does not produce radio drama, any radio drama, right? It's really to find a way to show the students that, okay, we can do it ourselves. Radio is a really economical genre to work in and produce, and you can really go anywhere with it. You can have a great involved plot, you can go around the world, you can move through time, you can have a number of different characters, and with all the sound effects you can use or music, you can create almost anything. The imagination is wide open. I guess that's sort of the background to why the Creative Writing Radio Project came to be, right? So we had the two shows last Friday, and we're going to have January 25th.
Hopefully we will see this art form continue in our society.
Right, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, in addition to that, you mentioned how busy you were. Are there any other projects that you're involved in that you would like to share with us?
Well, in terms of creative writing, I think the other class I teach, the Creative Writing 417, there's a festival called Brave New Playwrights that runs in spring. It'll be, I think it's early April this year. at the Dorothy Somerset Studio. So what happens is, so out of the class and out of some of the students in the Wednesday advanced stage play class, they submit scripts and they're adjudicated. And out of, so we had 18 scripts altogether. We're talking about 15-minute pieces at the most. And so we choose 12 of those and we actually produce them in the Brave New Playwrights Festival and present them to a live audience. And so each play gets 3 performances and they run over 6 nights, right? So you can go to, I think, bravenewplaywrights.ca. I'll have all the information about the dates. Anyways, I think this is our 27th year. I started the festival when I got here at UBC, so it tells you how long I've been here. The best way of learning is by doing, right? So, like, for instance, this morning we met as a class, the directing class. So the theater department has a class for their directors, right? So there's 12 directors. And so we all meet as a group Tuesdays and Thursday mornings and workshop all the plays, right, as a group, right? Read them out loud and talk about them. And then they direct them under guidance of Tom Schulte. And then we present them to the public. You get to see, I think, well, prices last year were for students, it was $10. You get to see 2 programs, so you get to see a half a dozen plays, 6 plays for $10. So, and I think it's just exactly like the radio project, right? It's sort of, you learn by doing. Like, you learn by either seeing or hearing your own work on the air or on the stage. You learn by working with actors. You learn by working with directors. What you don't need to say, or when you do need to say something, or have your characters say something. I guess for me, I always remember when I was a student, and that's what I designed my Creative Writing 217 class, the Introduction to Stage and Radio. I said, well, what if I wanted to take a course and get introduced to the genres, if I didn't know anything, what would it be like? So that's what I always try to keep in mind. What if I was a student again? What worked for me and what didn't work for me?
Do you have any advice for any up-and-coming playwrights or actors who are looking to maybe start off in a creative career?
Well, I guess my advice is to persevere. There will be plenty of obstacles, plenty of people who will say no or try to detour you. I think it's important to establish a community. I mean, often what happens out of the Brave New Festival is the director and the playwright form a friendship, a relationship, and they go on to do a fringe show together, right? And then maybe they'll do another fringe show, right, at the Vancouver Fringe Festival, right? Or they may do a separate production, right? So some of them went on to some theater productions around town, you know, separate from the fringe, right? So I think it's important to develop relationships and friendships with simpatico people. So in other words, people that share your vision of the world and go from there. I think it's also important to know your market. If you're an actor or a playwright, don't send your play to a theater that specializes, say, in the classics, because they're probably not going to be doing new work, right? It's sort of that simple kind of homework where you sort of have to know who you're submitting your resume to or your script, I guess. So do your homework.
Which is something that you will often hear teachers tell you. See, it does apply to the real world. I've been a high school teacher for much of my career to this
point. Right.
Yes. Well, do you have any parting thoughts for us here at Skults Hall?
I think radio is a fantastic medium. I think it is possible to produce your own work, and both for the students and for professionals. And I think that's what we have to do now.
Well, thank you very much for taking time out of your very busy day to be with us. And we've been talking with Brian Wade here at CITR 101.9 FM.
Here at CITR, we're
Moontan Nocturnal, vinyl consuming animals drifting easy through friendly space.
And we're
The Villains.
And
Nardwuar to Human Serviette from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
We're
Dark Space punctuated by planets.
And we're
Patrick Swayze.
And we're
God, the Devil, Hell, Heaven! Do you understand? Finally!
But CITR is not a
commercial radio station.
Which means we need the help of listeners like you. Donate to CITR's 2013 fund drive, February 28th to March 8th. Our goal is to raise $30,000 to help purchase new soundboards for all 3 studios. To donate, call 604 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. Or go online to citr.ca. And thanks for supporting community radio.
Where's the money?
CITR.
You want that money?
CITR.
Where's the money?
CITR.
Where's the money?
CITR.
Where's the f***ing money?
CITR.
The 2013 CITR Fund Drive is from February 28th to March 8th. Our goal is to raise $30,000 bills to help get new soundboards in all three of our studios. This means we need help from listeners just like you. To donate, call 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. Or go online to citr.ca and help support the station you love.
And welcome back to us live here at CITR 101.9 FM. And we are coming up on towards 2 o'clock, and we are involved in the CITR 101.9 FM annual fund drive. We are, as you have just heard, trying to raise money in order to replace several of our very hardworking and very close to the end of their life switching boards. And without those, we can't work. We can't do what we do. And it is very important that we do what we do, because what we do is such a support to the community. We, at Community Radio, offer a lot that you won't otherwise get. We offer alternative news sources, as you just heard with Aaron. We offer alternative sources of training, and we offer alternative sources of wonderful entertainment that we wouldn't otherwise get. We had this morning a band in. We have a radio play. We had last month 4 other radio plays. There is a lot that we can offer that you won't get anywhere else. And CITR 101.9 FM has been doing this for a very long time. We started off in 1937 with our very first AM radio station here at UBC. And we've been broadcasting ever since. In 1982, just over 30 years ago, we went FM and got our FM band. And just after that, in 1983, we began publishing the Discorder. And the Discorder is the magazine companion to our station, which outlines our programs. It outlines important, interesting, wonderful, lovely current events, and is yet another way in which we can support a community. So if all of this is important to you, if supporting arts that wouldn't otherwise get supported, supporting voices, news sources that otherwise wouldn't be given a broadcast is important to you, then please consider pledging. You can pledge here for Skulls, the show of Skulls Hall. You can pledge to any show that you love and listen to all the time. You can pledge in just in general to the station. We're trying to raise $30,000 this year. According to my latest figures, we're still standing at $1,443.60. But it doesn't have to stay that way. We're only in our second day right now. If you would like to donate, you can call us. We have people standing by right now in order to take your call at 604-822-8648. 604-822-8648 or 604 UBC Unit. Or if you live in the totally digital world, as often I do, then you can go to citr.ca, our website, and then /donate. And you can donate to the station in general. You can donate to one of your favorite shows. And a lot of shows offer wonderful swag for donations, and the station does in general. If you donate $30, you get a lovely Friends of CITR card that offers you discounts at very many stores and businesses around the Lower Mainland. At $75, you get a lovely t-shirt. There are lots of really good prizes out there. So please donate. And if you call and donate, your donations will be tax deductible. Isn't that lovely? Or if you would like, you can get lovely, wonderful swag prizes. And so these are the things that we can do for you in the immediate term at CITR 101.9 FM as thank yous for donations. And in the long term, what we'll turn around and use the money we raise for is to purchase and maintain necessary equipment in order that we can stay on the air and stay broadcasting, because we broadcast 24 hours a day. And in order that we may cover sporting events, art events, community events, present news sources that are less tainted by commercial bias, present art programs that wouldn't otherwise be given the time of day by people who are sitting in boards of directors of large major corporations, or that don't have to pass through a shareholder meeting in order to get funding to do, which so many very large projects must now do. And that seems to be the way that commercial run media is going. It's going into the hands of a very few, very large, very powerful corporations that, for better or for worse, make their decisions very safely, very slowly. And if you want to see innovation continue, if you want to see alternatives be considered, then local independent community radio stations like CITR 101.9 and like several others in the Lower Mainland region are the way to go. And so I am hoping here at Skull's Hall, we all are, that you will consider this in your budget for the next coming week, because every little bit helps and you'll be getting your name onto a good cause. If you could donate a few dollars, call us, email us. Hey, you can even drop on by Friday evening. We will be having a lovely shindig for those of us who, for those of you who do participate. So please give that some consideration here. And we will be continuing on in just a moment.
In the year 1937, the UBC Radio Club was born. From this club arose a group of fine and respectable ladies and gentlemen, keen on broadcasting their ideas to the world. 75 years later, CITR stands as one of the most respected and dignified institutions in the Vancouver community.
Hey, motherfucker!
Oh my. Please donate to CITR's 2013 fund drive and help uphold this fine reputation of excellence. To donate, call 604-822-8648 or go online to www.citr.ca. And our most sincere gratitude to all of you fine patrons.
Hi there, folks. I'm the soundboard in Studio B. Well, I have enjoyed many long years here at CITR. I'm afraid my time is coming to an end, you see. I'm dying. But the station must live on. Please, donate to this year's fund drive from February 28th to March 8th. And help purchase new soundboards to take my place. To donate, call 604-822-8648. Or go online to www.citr.ca. Hurry, because I don't have much time left.
Hey, do you like to party?
Excuse me?
Do you like to party?
CITR and Mint Records present